It was in 1960, so about 50 years ago, that Ted Naiman demonstrated the first laser.
Optical is what I call it, a superhighway. Once we go beyond one gig, optical will play a big role.
How do we go from a 1 gig network to 100? This is Future Lab, the online radio series of Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. Optical connectivity is a quiet revolution that's more than about moving lots of data. It's about changing the computing experience. On this week's Future Lab, we look at advancements in data centers. You know, if there's going to be a cloud, and if that cloud is going to be able to handle today's video streams, which will only get bigger, then something's got to handle it. Professor Bahram Jalali, who runs UCLA's Photonics Laboratory, emailed us with this tidbit. IBM's Roadrunner supercomputer has 55 miles of optical connections. And, he says, as video ups the ante for data centers in general, optical is replacing wires. It has to. Later in today's show, we'll talk with some Intel scientists who are researching optical networking in data centers. But to put some context around the science of light, this past week marked the 94th annual meeting of the Optical Society of America, known as the Optical Society, at a conference called Frontiers in Optics. And it so happens they are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the laser. Anything you want to know about optics are represented at the conference. Research into the inner workings of the human eye, the visual cortex in the brain, imaging systems, cameras, light focus and control, the quantum mechanical aspects of light, and of course, lasers. I spoke with Carl Koch, the general co-chair of Frontiers in Optics 2010. He graciously stepped out of a session for this conversation. And I asked him to tell us where optic science and industry is today in contrast with the recent past.
It was in 1960, so about 50 years ago, that Ted Naiman demonstrated the first laser. Now, there was a lot of technology that went into that demonstration. A lot of, you know, people made grand steps in microwave and RF and things like that before he demonstrated the Ruby laser. But then it was just learning how that technology could be applied.
People are now aware that fiber optics, photonics, these terms are now starting to emerge, and they're understanding that these things are replacing wire. And
that's right.
Exactly what is being replaced with optical connections?
Well, before we used to send things down telegraph lines, and we used to send electrical pulses down wires, and these were lossy. And the other thing is you couldn't send very high-speed pulses. If you tried to make a very short pulse and send lots and lots of short pulses down this wire, they smear out in such a way that at the end of this wire, you wouldn't be able to distinguish that you had sent a series of pulses. It would just look like one continuous blob. In optics, the idea is that we can send pulses down these thin strands of glass, and we can manage the spreading of the light such that when we send very short pulses down these fibers, what comes out the other end are still very short pulses of light that we can then use to transmit information. And that's everything from telephone calls to data that you pull off the internet to television signals to things like that.
Is there a day that you foresee when almost any kind of wire that we use for sending signals will be replaced by optical connections?
That's an excellent question, because what the computer industry is finding is that even in your CPU, when you have your CPU talking to your data storage device, the electric wires in that system are getting too slow. So they want to transmit and store information faster than the electric wires will enable them. So they're moving towards the optical. So they're going to eventually have central processing units that are transmitting and receiving optical pulses rather than electrical.
And is there a time that you foresee in the research of optical you'll hit a wall?
There's definitely a wall. I mean, one wall that's been identified within the last few years has been the fact that as we transmit more and more information, there's a famous theorem, Shannon's information theorem, tells us that in order to transmit more and more information, we have to transmit more and more power. And so eventually what's going to happen are these nonlinear effects. They can actually degrade the signal quality of the pulses that are propagating down the fiber. And so these nonlinear effects are going to eventually rear their heads and keep us from transmitting the information that we would like to transmit down the fibers. And so I think there's an enormous opportunity for inventing fibers that are less and less nonlinear, so that we can transmit higher and higher powers without having to worry about these nonlinear distortions that are generated.
I wonder if you could jump onto this idea for a moment and just describe what is compelling about understanding light.
Yeah.
Why are you compelled by it?
That's actually a bit of a long story. I mean, it started when I was an undergraduate. When I was taking physics courses, I started to encounter optics through a few of the laboratory courses. So I was just so fascinated by the laser. You know, it was such an intriguing object. Essentially, there was a gain medium surrounded by a couple of mirrors. And, you know, if the mirrors were not aligned correctly, nothing happened. But as soon as you got those mirrors set up so that the light bounced back and forth between this material, suddenly it, you know, just burst into light. And it was this beam that, you know, stayed together and propagated all the way across the room. And I just found that completely fascinating, and I wanted to learn everything about them.
Carl Koch, who works for Corning, is the general co-chair of Frontiers in Optics 2010, the annual meeting of the Optical Society. He spoke to us from the conference in Rochester, New York.
We know that in the data center, they're starting to have bandwidth bottlenecks because of all the increased traffic.
Madeline Glick is an Intel Labs scientist in Pittsburgh who specializes in physics and photonics. She says that video traffic is a key driver in data centers that are shifting to optical networking.
This is just going to get worse as more video comes online. And we're looking to see if you can use optics. Optics have terrific high bandwidth capabilities. So we're looking to see how to use those capabilities in the computer network to improve the performance of the data center. One of the groups that we're working with is Columbia University, and they have a terrific test bed where they actually have, you know, computers in the room and lasers and all the equipment that they need, and that's what we're using to measure some of the performance.
Glick says that one of the main challenges is not just to make the optical network work. It's also about understanding the cost of deployment.
People say it will get less expensive when there's more volume, but people don't want to manufacture more unless they know there's a market. So you get into a circle. Although lately, people have been using optical interconnects more for supercomputers. So that's increasing the optical components within computing systems, and it will increase the volume also. So hopefully it will reduce the prices.
So let's go into the real world for a moment. This is one of Intel's core data centers. Row after row, and rack after rack of servers and other equipment. This is not a test bed for products. The equipment in here is best in class, regardless of manufacturer. Sanjay Rungta oversees the network architecture.
These are all optics. So you can see this whole tray is carrying an optical. And right above it, you see this is a tray which is carrying all copper. If you look at the quantity of fiber we are running on this tray, it's probably 4x to 10x more than that tray. So it takes more weight, more planning, more space. But you know, right now it's more cost effective, hence we use them. But in the data centers especially, I foresee myself having more and more optical interconnection. So copper will become just a short connection. Within the rack, if you need a connection, do copper. If you need to get out of the rack or anywhere else, go fiber.
Rungta says the rule of thumb now for a 1 gig network is this. Anything under 15 meters is wired. It's a cost consideration. Anything over 15 meters can go optical. But that's changing as new data center designs will be based on 10 gig networks, which means more optical deployed. And part of the design mix now and in the future must take into account video.
So when we do the video services, we make sure that either we put the video server where there will be no congestion, or we implement in our network something called quality of service. So whenever there is a congestion, video gets higher priority than anything else.
The considerations and challenges for network architects like Sanjay Rungta are the basis for many research questions. Madeline Glick says that one area of investigation is determining not only how much bandwidth optical can handle, but how much it might help improve the performance of applications.
This would open a new capability, really. And if you could have high bandwidth, low latency links in your data center, people might think about programming differently. Now they have to spend a lot of time thinking about where to place the computation on nodes that are close to each other because they don't want to lose the time going from one server to another or one rack to another. And if we could reduce that time, maybe they would have more flexibility in their programming.
Until it finally shows up in our homes where we can actually see it, we won't be aware of optical technology directly, even though many of our phone calls are carried by fiber optic cables. But we will feel it in the way services from data centers and the cloud come to us. If numbers mean anything, the jumps in performance that Sanjay Rungta anticipates are incredible.
Optical is what I call it a superhighway. Once we go beyond 1 gig, optical will play a big role. As a matter of fact, as 10 gig is very relevant in the industry now, we can get it. And 40 gig and 100 gig is in the development phase. By 2015, in our network, I easily see ourselves having, you know, quite a bit install of 100 gig. Every 4 years in Intel, we go through a next Ethernet technology. So last year and this year, we've been really deploying a lot of 10 gig. By 2015, I see ourselves having quite a bit 100 gig.
That's our show for today. If you'd like to follow up on the science of light, check out the Optical Society's website at osa.org. We're still in the midst of the 50th anniversary of the laser, so you might be interested in laserfest.org. Other Future Lab shows on diverse topics from brain imaging to vineyards can be found at iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs can be found at intel.com/research.